Social media world changers, I'm having a party in Austin on May 4th and you're invited. My third annual social media content creation conference, Social Success, is happening on May 4th, 2024 in beautiful Austin, Texas. I've gathered some of the best social media and entrepreneurial leaders in the country, including Brian Martin, Brett Shuford, Dr. Trevor Buffoni, Dan Peterson, Megan Colwell, Jennifer Bassman, Davina Maharaj, and yours truly to speak at this fun, inspiring event that will help you level up your social media presence, your content creation skills, and your leadership mindset. Your Austin weekend will start on Friday, May 3rd with an optional mini branding photo shoot and a happy hour meet and greet. Then get ready for the big day because on Saturday, May 4th, you're going to spend 10 hours with your fellow social media world changers, learning all of the latest social media strategies to skyrocket your brand. On Saturday, you'll also get your headshot snapped by our amazing event photographer, and you'll get a fun swag bag to take home. We'll end with some group videos and an after party that you definitely don't want to miss. Space is limited, so grab your ticket today. Head to smallbizsocialsociety.com for details and tickets. And here's a money-saving tip for you. Reach out to one of the speakers for a special discount code to save $50 off your ticket. This is the best social media event in 2024 for mission-driven entrepreneurs using social media to make a positive impact on the world. I can't wait to meet you in person in Austin on May 4th at Social Success. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I'm your hostess, Brittany Crossan, and I'm here to help you build a brand, make an impact, and have some fun on social media. I'm the owner of Fun Love Media, a social media and podcasting agency in Houston, Texas. This show is for social media creators, social media managers, and small business owners that want to stand out on social media and beyond. Please know that this show could include some grown-up language here or there. Let's get started. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I'm your hostess, Brittany Cross, and thank you so much for being back for another episode, whether you are listening or you are watching on YouTube. I'm so happy that you're here. This guest had me so excited. I think this guy is fantastic. He's so talented. He's so kind. He's like this virtual hug when you watch his social media content. So I am talking about Travis Hulp. He is a psychic medium and spiritual guide. He has a deep passion for helping people, and he's had these abilities as a psychic medium for as long as he can remember. And he has taken these beautiful abilities of his and these beautiful gifts and taken them to social media with now 750,000 social media followers on Instagram and TikTok. And that's how I found him, is on TikTok. And I'm just really excited because not only are you going to hear about Travis, his story, and how he got started doing what he does now professionally as a psychic medium and a spiritual guide, but also he really gave us really good wisdom and support when it comes to mindset. Because I know, most of you listening and watching this show are entrepreneurial and you are out there, you know, sharing content on social, and you probably have a business and there's a lot going on and a lot can get in our head. And Travis was like this breath of fresh air and brought in all these really great ideas that can help you get into a better mindset as an entrepreneur and as a social media creator. So we talked about him. We talked about the mindset stuff. We talked about his social media journey and how he never expected to end up with 750,000 followers. It's really an excellent conversation. And just as Travis says in his content on social media every day, if you're not down with psychic mediums, then just consider him your gay uncle that knows a lot of shit. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast, Travis Hulp. I am so excited to welcome Travis Hulp to the Social Sunshine Podcast. Hi, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Brittany, I'm so excited to be here with you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, I am honored. I am selfishly excited just because I love what you do. And then whenever I found you on, I think I initially found you on TikTok. And then, of course, I went over to Instagram and just followed you everywhere I could. I was like, the algorithm got it right. It knew what I wanted to see. It sent you to me.
We liked enough cat and squirrel videos that somehow we made it over. I think like the equation is like 3 cat videos, 7 squirrel videos, and 1 tarot reading. And then you just find your way to my side of the algorithm.
And there we are. Yep, for sure. I love it. Well, again, thank you so much for being here. So I want to dive right in. I want to start with your story of what you do. And then, of course, we will talk about your social media journey as well, how it's impacted what you do and all the things. So if you don't mind, give us a little history lesson on you. Like, how in the hell did all of this cool adventure start for you as a psychic, as a psychic medium?
Yeah, you know, I equate my journey to, you know, being a psychic medium is the same as my kind of like my coming out story and me realizing I'm a gay person. I just, when I was younger, I just kind of thought everyone was. And then then you find out that like, oh, no, not everyone is this way, right? And I equate that both to being gay and being psychic, right? And so, you know, I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and I have a very lovely family, but, you know, they had their own kind of fear and a lot of kind of religious stigma around both homosexuality and metaphysical work. And so when I was coming to both of those realizations, I just kept it to myself. And, you know, I came out long before I came out of the metaphorical broom closet. But, you know, when I was kind of going through my journey, my own journey of deeper healing, these abilities that I've had since I was young of just understanding other people's emotions and feelings, knowing that things are going to happen before they happen, connecting to those who have made their transition over into non-physical. As I went through my own healing, those abilities just got stronger and stronger. And, you know, I think in life, sometimes we say like, oh, I want to find my path. But I think the path finds us. It's just waiting for us to kind of get out of the way and just align to it. And so through my own healing journey, that's what I did. And then, you know, I had no intention of being a medium as a professional for, it was not on my 5-year plan back in 2019. But, you know, something, I forget what happened in 2020, something crazy happened, I don't know. And then, you know, found myself at home for a while. And, you know, I started by doing tarot readings on TikTok because I had left my corporate job. And, you know, I was so like self-identified by my work. So I kind of like floated and was lost for a few months. Then I just get on TikTok one night and I start reading tarot because I loved reading tarot for people. And, you know, 3.5 years later, here we are having this conversation, and it's been such an amazing journey.
I think it's really cool that you talked about it, like the way you just did about you're also coming out as a psychic. Like I mean, it's understandable. All of these things about us when we, you know, question, do we talk about this even to our loved ones? It's a big deal. I mean, you know, yeah. And it's a big decision to make. And sometimes it doesn't quite go as well as you hope. And sometimes it goes okay.
Yeah.
So has it, like, how has that been in your real life? Just like anybody, your family, friends, people that have known you for a while, in watching you through this journey you've been on, like, are they like, okay, Travis?
Again, kind of like when I was coming out, a lot of people were like, ah, it's just a phase. You know, you know, like, he'll grow out of talking to dead people. It's fine, you know. But then it just eventually, like, it was just, you know, my, you know, 3.5 years in. And at this point, I've amassed this really lovely following on social media and this amazing community there. And I've, you know, I do this for full-time work now, and I do live events, and my friends have come. And in the mediumship world, they're called demonstrations, where I do live mediumship and connect to people's loved ones in, you know, in a big group. And so now they're kind of like, oh, like this is sticking. Like this is, but it felt, Brittany, when I was kind of, because, you know, for me, it didn't start with mediumship. It started with tarot. And I, you know, and doing more like channeling or psychic work, the mediumship kicked in maybe about, you know, 6 months to a year in. So at first it was just, oh, I read tarot for people. And that I think was a little bit more digestible for my friends and family. And then when it turned into, well, guess what? I make connections with the other side and those who have departed this physical plane. Then it was like, what? Like they were all like, huh? Like, what is that? Cause you know, you think about it this way. And I do equate it to coming out because it very much is telling people, hey, here's a big piece of who I am. And, you know, it can be an adjustment for people when they're used to seeing you a certain way. I mean, I was in the beauty industry for 17 years. They were used to seeing me as a makeup artist and a leader in sales. And so for me then to be like, talk to grandma who's on the other side, you know, they're like,
A little pivot.
Like they're like, what? But it's, you know, it's been really fun for me. It may have given them whiplash, but it's been really fun for me because, you know, I've gotten to really be on this journey of my life and honor this expansion and to be aligned with work that feels so purposeful. It feels so good. So when I do get that rejection, and I have, it doesn't hurt. Much like when I came out, like it just, when I was like, hey, I'm gay. And people were like, oh, you're going to hell for that. It's so funny. I equate coming out has like really prepped me for being a medium. Cause when people tell me something awful, like I'm going to hell. Yes. I'm like, ah, well, whatever. I've been told that since I was like 13. So, you know, so.
That was already on my projection.
Yeah. I've already heard that one, babe. So, yeah, you're telling me something else. Like I'm sentenced to jury duty for eternity. I don't know. So, I think that when you're living in something that honestly feels very truthful to you and it feels aligned, it just doesn't matter what other people say.
Right. So,
yeah.
That's amazing. What a great perspective on that. Okay, I'll ask you a couple of probably very typical questions for anybody in the audience that's curious, that needs just a little bit of basic education on what you do so that everybody can understand in general. So you talked about tarot. Mm-hmm. You talked about mediumship. Can you just give us a little bit of a comparison so that anybody listening can kind of understand what the difference would be?
Yeah, so when I first started, I read tarot, which is cards. Yes. And a form of divination. I don't read tarot for clients anymore. I love tarot, but it's just my practice has just expanded. And so now I do mediumship, which, and I work evidentially. So when I have a client that comes to me, they schedule an appointment. I don't ask them any questions. I just start connecting into I prep them. I tell them kind of what to expect, right? But I'll start connecting into their loved ones in spirit in an evidential manner, meaning I'm bringing through like the names, how they pass, their connection to you, memories, signs, symbols, all of that, and then delivering those messages. So a medium, think about a medium as like this. A medium is just kind of like a radio. And for those of you too young to remember what a radio is, we used to listen to those for music. I'm like a cell phone, just receiving signals or receiving messages, and I'm just sharing the information that's coming through. That's it. So I'm just a bridge between what we can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch here in the physical and what is happening in the plane that we can't see, smell, taste, and touch with our physical senses.
Okay. Okay, great. No, that's great. Great explanation. Thank you. Okay, so tell me this. I feel like I've heard different humans are just different in the way that they experience what you experience. But when you go into, like, I want to know about the, I hate to say burden, but how it weighs on you when you're going into different scenarios. I mean, like if you're coming here on a virtual meeting, or you're going to see someone in person, or a big group of people, or small, like, do you, are you able to channel things intentionally and compartmentalize or no?
Yeah. So if I'm, you know, so if I'm one-on-one with someone, it's a little bit easier, right? Because it's only that person and their loved ones that I'm connecting with. If I'm in a group setting, it's really interesting because we'll have all of these people that are just kind of trying to talk to me that are wanting to share, right? So I have to kind of like focus in on one. And then if we're in a group setting, like we just did this event in Tacoma and there were like 150 people in the theater. And it's so funny. I'll just start receiving and then I'll just start sharing. Okay, this is who I've got coming through. And then I just start walking through the audience and my body just guides me. And I'll just stand in front of someone and I'm like, this is your mother. And they'll be like sobbing. They'll be like, that's my mom. You know, so it's, I wish I could like, if people felt more of what I'm experiencing, I think there's obviously there'd be more of an understanding, but it's all very like feeling and sensing and experiencing. It's really cool and really fun. It's not scary. I always get asked, you know, is it scary? Does it frighten you? No, it's all good and it's all love. But you know, it's an experience. And if someone's never had an experience with a medium, I highly recommend it because it can be very enlightening as well.
That's cool. I never have, but I'm always fascinated by the whole thing. I think it's fantastic and so exciting, honestly. I know it can be hard, you know, I guess if people hear things that are emotional. That was another thing I was going to ask you that you probably have been asked many times before is as a human being, just being there and you're, like you said, you're like a radio or a cell phone and you're delivering this information, these feelings and all this stuff, but like you're also your own person. And what, you know, what if that person is really sad or distraught, or how are you able to handle that, you know, those feelings that you might get?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where my own self-care takes, you know, definitely comes into play, right? Like as a medium and somebody who works in the metaphysical healing space, I have to make sure that I'm staying on top of my healing for sure. And my own stuff. But for the most part, you know, when I'm in a reading, I always make this joke, like I'm there, but I'm not there. Like I'm just in this other place. So for me, it's just receiving information and delivering it. So it's really more of like looking at it as data. Right. And so for me, I'm not emotionally tied to it. Whereas the client, you know, they might be receiving information that like they've needed, like an apology or an acknowledgement of pain that the person in the spirit caused them here in the physical. Right. And, you know, my job as the medium is to stay as neutral as possible and deliver, because it's kind of like this, Brittany, you know, it's kind of like if somebody jumps in a tar pit, I can't jump in with them to save them. So one of us has to be out of the tar, right? So, you know, so it's, so staying in that place of holding, and it's an energy too that we're working with, right? So if I'm in that place of holding that energy of healing, I have to stay in that position in order for that energy to flow through.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. One more question you may have heard a million times and then I'm going to move on. What about, have you ever experienced, and maybe you haven't yet, I don't know, but where you were got something that felt not good to share, uncomfortable to share. I mean, are you getting any sort of information that you're like, you know what I mean? Like something that you're like, I don't want to say that shit out loud right now, because that is hardcore. Have you experienced that?
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, absolutely. There have been times, especially when there's times of, you know, the person that I'm connecting with on the other side committed some horrible act towards the person there, right? But I look at it this way, is that, you know, the person that's coming to see me, they're looking for that peace and that closure. Yeah. So if, you know, one that kind of just comes to mind is that the person that they were wanting to connect with, it was an ex-partner of theirs, and that partner had was physically abusive to them here while they were in the physical. And so, you know, of course it's hard to say, like, oh, this person is letting me know that they were kind of violent. Do you understand abuse? Do you understand them being, and the person saying, yeah, that was our relationship. And the client was like, that's why I'm here. I want closure from that, because they passed away before I could ever tell them how I felt, that I was angry or, you know. So I think people come to mediums, yes, to connect to loved ones, but also for just healing in their own life so they can move forward.
Right.
So they can get that closure and live their life.
Right. Yeah. Cool, man. That's a lot. So moving on, do you, like, I feel like this has got to, this whole gift of yours and the experiences you've had so far and everything has got to impact your, I would assume, maybe I'm wrong, your perspective on life, or maybe it's giving you even better tools. Cause I know you talk about that kind of thing. You talk about mindset, you talk about, manifesting and all these things. I mean, how has that helped you kind of shift your mindset about things maybe and just be a better, more patient individual?
Yeah. So, you know, what's really funny is I think, like, back in 2017, 2018, I remember I had this person that worked on my team, and they would talk about manifesting. And, like, listen, I read The Secret when it came out. Like, I asked for $1 million in my mailbox, and it did not come the next day. And, you know, this person's talking about manifesting. We had this, like, really hard sales goal, and they're like, let's just manifest it. And I was like, and I remember being such a jerk, and I was like, you can't manifest that. That's not, you know, I was a different person back then. Travis was tipping the bottle back then a lot. So, you know, okay. I'm not that same person, but, you know, I was like, you can't manifest. And now here I am, like, talking about manifestation and mindset. And, you know, I think through my own, you know, people are seeing my own healing journey happen through my social media as well. It's, you know, a lot of the things that I share are things that I've picked up along the way, or that I've learned, or it came up in a meditation, or I'm channeling it, or, you know, so I'm growing right along with my audience, and I'm sharing the things that have been really helpful to me. And I think mediums, we do so much more than just connect to loved ones. We also help with manifestation and mindset, because we understand energy. Yeah. As a medium, I have come to understand deeply energy, not just the physical energy that we have here, but metaphysical energy as well. And that includes how we think and how we feel and how important that is for us to live a super happy life.
Right. Yeah. How do you, I'm going to ask for a specific tip, because I think this is helpful probably to, just because I'm pretty familiar with the kind of people that listen to the show, and, yeah, and a lot of these people are entrepreneurial. They're unique. They are sharing on social media, which is not like the norm in regular life kind of thing. And probably are big dreamers and ambitious, right? And I wonder about, because I've seen you kind of touch on this topic before, about, like, you have your big goals, your big dreams, like, huge stuff, but then, like, how to not obsessively think about it and worry yourself, like, what if it doesn't happen? Having that patience, going through that process, it's very difficult in my opinion, you know, to get, you get set on that result you want, like you said, like the $1 million. But then some people will say, well, then just kind of let go a little. And I'm like, let go? Why? How do I do that? You know, do you have any words of wisdom on that?
Be patient, which, like, always drives me nuts when I hear someone tell me to be patient. Because here's the thing. My impatience is my biggest gift.
I kind of think the same thing. That's cool to hear you say that. Okay.
My impatience is my biggest gift. I'm going to tell you why. Impatience means that you have such a strong desire. What can get in where impatience can, everything has a duality to it, right? Impatience can be a great gift. It can also sometimes be a burden. When that impatience becomes, I'm not going to feel fulfilled until I have the $1 million.
Okay.
Then that's when you're kind of causing, creating that gap, right? We can have these amazing, amazing visions. And I think the first important thing is what does that vision feel like to you? What does the $1 million, well, geez, $1 million, right? What does that feel like to you? When I was starting this journey, so people ask me how I grew my social media all the time. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't have a strategy. I just started posting reels and it happened and it just keeps happening. And I know that like drives every single person crazy that I talk to, but
I just stumbled into 750,000 followers, y'all. I don't know.
Yeah. So let me tell you what I did. I sat down and I got so clear with what I wanted to feel. And I got clear with what I wanted to feel because I wrote down everything that I wanted to experience in this life. I'm like, I want a book. I want to do a TV show. I want to do public speaking events. I want to help people. Like my last name, Hope, means to have helped in like old French. So like, I want to help people. And ultimately that's what I want to do. And I want to help as many people as possible. So how am I going to do that? Book, TV show, whatever, right? All those things underneath of it. And then I write down next to it, what does that feel like? What does helping all those people feel like? What does the TV show feel like? What, you know, you say like, oh, I want a TV show. Great. But if you don't really know how you want to feel, you could get the TV show and it not feel good. True. I don't know about you, Brittany. I've gotten things plenty of times where I was like, I thought I wanted it and I got it. And I was like, ew, no, did not want this. What was I thinking? Right.
Right.
So I got really clear on what I wanted to feel. And then I just started focusing on feeling that every single day. And then the craziest thing happened. Then all the Instagram followers came and the TikTok followers. And then like, and the thing is like, I say I don't have a strategy. I do, but it's not like some, like, I'm not sitting down like blueprinting and doing all of these things, right? Like I show up, I share a message that has value, that has heart, that is there to serve and to help other people. And if it does, great, amazing. But it's all of that growth started, and the growth in my own life, not just the cool things that I'm doing, but my own personal growth started when I got really clear on just how I wanted to feel and how do I want to feel in my business and how do I want to feel in my personal lives or personal life, my relationships. How do I want my health? Like, what does my health look like through all of this, right? Because we will say, I want the $1 million a year business. I want to do this. I want to do this. At what cost? Yeah. How, like, what does your health look like in this? Like, are you fulfilled or are you just drained? Are you exhausted? So you got to be really clear on all of those aspects. And when you do that, you have that clarity, the videos that you post become so much better. The decisions that you make in your business become so much better. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, getting, you know, having this kind of this impatience or wanting to go where you want to go, right? You become responsive versus reactive. When you have a clear intention, because sometimes when you don't have a clear intention, you're just reacting. You're just making decisions, knee-jerk reactions, throwing pasta at the wall, right? But when you've got a clear vision and a clear intention of where you want to go and what you want to feel, you can react or you can respond. You can take time, make a decision that aligns with how you want to feel. And then you'll start to notice your speed just stay consistent and have this amazing consistent growth when you're responding versus reacting. And you'll know when you're responding because it's in alignment with how you want to feel.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now, when you, I love the whole how you want to feel thing too. I lose sight of it. Which I guess probably
a lot we all do.
But when I'm good with it, I'm doing good. So can you, one more question about that. If someone's like, okay, cool, I got it. I'm going to also focus on how the big cool thing is going to make me feel and then try to feel that way now.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone doesn't understand how to do that, I mean, it's literally just trying to get yourself in that mindset and that space.
So here's the deal. So a lot of people, so I get that question a lot. What do you mean practice how I want to feel?
Yeah.
Do you know what stress feels like? Do you know what anxiety feels like? Can you think of a thought right now that brings you a little bit of anxiety or a little bit of stress about your business, about life, right? Yep. Congratulations. You are so well practiced. It didn't even take you long. You immediately smiled and you were like, yeah, I've got, here's 10. Like,
yep. Just felt it. Got it.
Yeah. And you had that thought, and what happened in your body?
Yeah.
You felt the stress or the anxiety in your physical body instantly.
Right.
You're so well practiced at that. A lot of us are. We all are, right? It's how these little 4 pounds of electric tofu are wired. Is that thing that you just thought about, is it happening right now, right in front of you? No, we're here having a conversation. That thing's far away.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So we have to think about, what does happiness feel like? And sometimes we have to, so here's the thing, because we haven't had the thing happen yet, right? So sometimes we may have to practice feeling the feeling of, so let's use money. This is one of my favorite ones to use. Everyone wants a lot of money. What is the core essence of money? Freedom, security.
Right.
People oftentimes don't feel those things when they think of money. They think of restriction. They think of scarcity. They're not being enough. How am I going to make it happen? So if that's why it's so important to know how you want to feel, because then let's say you want a lot of money. You want to get out of debt. You want to grow your business. You want a lot of profit there, right? Thinking about that though, you might have some things in there that trigger an unwanted response. So you're going to have to think about, what does it feel like to feel freedom and not think about money? So what does it feel like to feel free? Well, I'm so free. I can choose how I'm feeling right this very second. Yeah. So free. I can like breathe this air. You know, it starts really simple until you can really ramp up to start thinking about, what does it feel like when I'm standing in front of a crowd and I'm talking to people and I'm giving my first TED talk? Or what does it feel like when I am looking at my business and I have all of these amazing clients flowing in? Oh my gosh, it feels so good. Yeah. And you couple that with that impatience, oh my gosh, you are going to get, now this is where the action is important, right? Because we have to take action. We can't just have the thought and feel good and then it just, you know, just magically pop up, right?
Right.
Those experiences will come into our awareness, but we've got to know then, what action steps do we take? Again, that's a part of the being responsive, not reactive. So when we're in that place of alignment and we see that next action step, or we get that download or that knowing of, you know what, maybe this is the post I need to make today, or maybe this is the person I need to network with today or call. You get that from that space, you're going to be taking actions that feel so much more aligned with your ultimate desire.
Right. Wow, that's really helpful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Selfishly, that's great for me. and I know it's very helpful for everybody listening or watching as well. I joke, but seriously, it's very, very helpful to help just make those kinds of shifts and understand the power that we do have in our mind. I think that that's, it's such a foreign topic for so many humans. This whole topic of mindset and shifting and the power of your thoughts. You know, most of us that would follow the work of someone like you and be drawn to this sort of thing and try to practice it in our own lives, right? If we went, say, to like, you know, the family reunion or something, like most people there are likely not going to always understand that. And I just think you just got to keep talking about it like how you are. I mean, it's so important because it's life-changing, honestly. Yeah.
And they don't have to understand it truthfully. You just have to understand it. That's it. Yeah. You're only responsible for your own vibration and your own energy.
Right.
You're not responsible for anyone else's.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
True. Okay. I want to ask you a few social media specific
questions. Yeah, let's do it.
How that weaves into all of this. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, I feel like you have, I'm pretty sure, like 750,000 followers right now as of March 2024, somewhere around there.
Total between the two platforms.
Yes. And so you were saying you really started with tarot around 2020. And have you been, how has the journey, like, as far as just like logistically, like, have you been consistently sharing content since then? So that's like a 4-ish years, or has it been up and down? Like, when did it become this really routine thing for you to do?
Yeah. So when I started with TikTok, it was about like end of 2020. So about November of 2020, I just started with like a TikTok live, and I didn't post. It's so funny, Brittany. I didn't have any metaphysical content on my page whatsoever. You know what it was? It was me taking off my shirt and doing little dances in my living room. And I feel like if you scroll back far enough, like on the TikTok, you'll find them. I've tried to delete a lot of them, but
I'm gonna find it.
but you know, like, and that's, and that same thing with my Instagram. It was like gym pictures and me with my shirt off, like needing so much validation from people, right? Which is totally fine, not knocking it. But for me, in the space I was in, it was looking for validation from other people. That was it. Like, just tell me I'm pretty. That's all I want. Just tell me I'm pretty. It, which isn't really serving anyone, right? It's serving me, but not really anyone else. But
right.
So I got on a TikTok live. And at the time, before, so the company I was with at the time was a cosmetics company. And they wanted us to make these like little like videos selling skincare, because we were all, you know, we couldn't be in stores and all this stuff. So anyway, so I do these like skincare videos, and I saw this video of Tabitha Brown. If you don't know who she is, she's amazing. She's you know, she's on TikTok. She exploded. She's this amazing woman of color, and she, you know, did like vegan cooking content, whatever. But sometimes she would do these videos of her just like in her bathrobe at night, being like, "I know you had a hard day, baby, and I love you." And I'm like, "This is like a hug. Oh my God!" So I was like, I want to start putting out content like that. So I was doing these like skincare videos where I'd be putting on my skincare at night and telling people how great they are, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, left that job. And then I was just kind of like hanging out for a bit. And then November rolls around, and then I get on a TikTok live. I've got like 4 people on the live with me. I'm hanging out at home. I have nothing to do. And someone goes, "I really miss your skincare videos. And I've had a really hard day. Can you like tell me something to help me feel better?" And I was like, you know what? I've got my tarot cards. That was something that I did that people didn't really know. I would read for friends and things like that. So like, let me do a tarot reading for you. The next thing I know, Brittany, I'm reading tarot, and then I see like the numbers in the room. This was when metaphysics and tarot and psychics and mediums were like blowing up on social media. There was like 100 people in the room, and then 500, and then 1500 people. And I'm like, what's happening? It just happened. And so then I was like getting DMs. "Do you do private readings?" And I'm like, "I do now." And
yes, as a matter of fact,
yes, I do. And so then I started taking regular appointments like every weekend. And from there, it just kind of grew. And then, you know, but then like TikTok, after a while, like I kind of slacked off from posting every day. Like when I stopped getting that dopamine rush of the surge of followers, I was like, I'm not really going to post every day. And then I started, about a year and 4 months ago, I was like, I'm going to post videos again consistently to Instagram, though. Like, I've kind of had it with TikTok. There were so many fake accounts on TikTok for tarot readings. It's like, it was just so annoying. So I was like, I'm just going to start posting on Instagram and just see what happens. Same thing. I start posting, and then the reels exploded. And I'd never posted a reel. I was like, reels are so silly. Now I'm like, one reel a day. So ever since then, though, but here's what changed, though, Brittany, because I slacked off from the TikTok and I didn't nurture it. Instagram, for me, that was when I really sat down and I got really clear on what I wanted to do and how I wanted to serve. So for me now, posting one reel a day of a quick message feels really good, but because I have more clarity around the mission. So on Instagram, I post one reel a day. Sometimes I'll do like a static post. Those aren't consistent. But, and then TikTok, I'll just kind of take what I put on Instagram and put it on TikTok. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, of course. I do similar things. I understand. Okay. So, your specific template, if you will, for your videos is so smart. From a social media professional's perspective, it's like, you've covered, you've shown us when you say, and if you don't believe in psychics, you know, consider me your gay uncle that knows a lot of shit. I know all the lines, Travis. And it's so smart because it lets us in on your personality. It tells us something, at least even just a snippet of your story. And like you were saying, it is kind of like delivering a hug. Really, that was a great example earlier, but also your credibility in what you do professionally. So like you get all of that wrapped into one. So, and people watching may not understand that I'm coming from a different perspective, but it's very cool because it's extremely effective. Like it draws me to you. And it's so genuine. Like, do you feel when you're creating those videos, does it come with pretty good ease? Cause it seems to me like you're pretty relaxed and you're just like being yourself and this is not a show.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. You know, and that opening line that I use, it just happened. Like I didn't plan that. It was just like, let me just share this message or let me just tell you who I am real fast. I love sharing those messages and it does come with ease. A lot of them are channeled, which means I just kind of open up my energy and I'm like, all right, what needs to be heard today? Sometimes it's me thinking, okay, if I was at like the beginning of my spiritual journey, what did I need to hear? Or I do have two nephews. I am a gay uncle and I've got two nephews. I'm like, if they were coming to me with a problem with self-worth, like I'll pick a topic like self-worth, loneliness, you know, what would I tell them?
Right.
What's some like general universal, because here's the thing. I think like I try to be as general and broad as I can because I don't want to give anyone an absolute or tell someone this is how you should think or feel. I want someone to take it and interpret it in their situation or what's going on in their life. But yeah, so that's how they happen. And I think, you know, there are times where I'll record something, I'm like, nah, that didn't feel right. And then I'll go back and I'll just re-record it. But I'm like, I'm a one take kind of guy.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I mean, it's very apparent that it's very natural and genuine, and I love it so much. How has social media impacted your life as a person, but also especially your business and what you do? I mean, I presume there have been opportunities that have come because people found you there initially and things like that. Yes.
Yeah, I have had some really cool things come out. I mean, it's how I found my publicist. You know, he found my Instagram and, you know, and so he and I connected through there. And I've had a couple of really cool, like, I don't take on a lot of partnerships. That's, you know, but the ones that I have taken on and done have all come through my social media. It's how I find 95% of my clients, or well, they find me. So, you know, social media has helped me keep my appointment books full, which is really nice. So, you know, it's really impacted me very positively and it's helped me be able to do what I do full time and not supplement with another job. So it feels really good to be able to do this like full time and you know, get to meet new people. It's great.
Right. It is great. I love it. When it comes to social media, I mean, I know you see a lot of comments and messages that are fantastic. Probably, I mean, you probably see the opposite too, right? There's both sides. But so, you know, when you hear from someone about something you said being life-changing and so on and so forth, are you able to, I know you know, you shared with us earlier that you feel like you're the radio, you're the cell phone, you're the delivery dude, bringing forth the information. But like, are you able to grasp that and have that gratitude for like, wow, like this gift of mine, it really did change their life. Like, do you have the moments?
Yeah, I do. Cause like, I kind of equate it to when, you know, I read something from an author or I hear a song.
Yeah.
Or I see a film, right, that changes my life, right? Like I associate it with the person delivering the message, whether it's something that they heard that they're relaying or, you know, they channeled it or was, you know, whatever it is, right? Yeah. Like I'm so thankful. I think it's important to be thankful to not only I acknowledge that I am the vessel, but I also am thankful for the vessel.
Yeah.
And in turn, I have to apply that to myself, right? Because that vessel that's delivering the message, whether it's the song, the book you read, the movie, whatever it is, that vessel had to live through certain things in order to open up to receive that message. So not only am I thankful for the message that I believe always comes from a higher place, I'm thankful for the vessel for being in the position to receive it.
Right. Right. Yeah. What would you say to someone listening that wants to start sharing more on social media? Maybe they're holding back. Maybe they kind of share, kind of don't. Wishy-washy. I mean, what kind of encouragement could you give that person that they want to do it? So the desire is there, but maybe they're scared. Maybe they're scared. What are people going to think of me? What are people going to say? You know, my Aunt Sally is going to be so judgy. Like, what would you say to that person?
They are going to be judgy. They are.
Oh, show.
They're going to be judged. Listen, when I first started posting videos, Brittany, you know, I would get people that would say, you know, people can you, people will say things. And I think you just kind of have to prep yourself for that. Like, and that's all right. You know, I had people who, you know, I would post videos and they'd be like, I would get messages from people that I knew that'd be like, these are kind of silly. What are you doing? And, you know, and that's all right. You know, you're allowed to think that way and feel that way. And then now, you know, the messages from some of those people are drastically different now, a couple years later, right? Like, oh, can I get a reading? You know, so
I always believed in you, Travis.
I always believed you could do it. And that's all right. I think that you have to be, it's very vulnerable to post things on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think that you got to get real vulnerable with some stuff real quick if you want to post some things on the internet. But I say do it, because here's the thing. You will regret if you really want to do it and you feel like this is a part of your path, right, that is going to help lead you to other things. Social media for me, I love it, but it's simply just been a tool for me to do the things that I want to do. It's not the reason why I do what I do. So, you know, it's so much better. I know it's kind of cliche to say, but it's so much better to regret doing something, because at least you have the experience of doing it, than not doing it. Right. And I think, you know, you have a message. I think all of us have something valuable to share in our story. And if your story has led you to wanting to help others, whether it's being a coach, whether it's being a mentor, whether it's being a medium, whether it's being a social media expert, whatever it is, you know, don't deprive people of that story, and don't deprive yourself of being able to help others, because it's a wonderful feeling. Yeah, I get paid for what I do, but what I do is service, just like what you do is service. You know, yeah, you get paid for what you do, Brittany, but you help people. Ultimately, at the core of what you do, you help others, just at the core of what I do. Right. And so don't deprive yourself of that feeling of being in service and helping other people.
Right. I love what you said about how it's a tool that you're using. It's just part of your puzzle, essentially. And it's similar to what I say. I'll say, you know, you can look at social media as being a purpose vehicle, right? Like, it can help, it can help deliver you to your purpose and to fulfill your dreams and to help others and all those things. So I think that there can be like this, from my conversations I have, like, maybe a misconception of like, you have to just love social media and think, oh, that's fantastic. And be, and it's, that's not the case. You, like you said earlier, knowing not only what you want, but then how you want that to make you feel. And then when you can weave in, how can social media help deliver me to that? It's really, it can kind of feel like a magical experience, because you can do so much with it. And you have, I mean, to see that, I mean, I look at your stuff, I look at the comments and things people say, and it's just fantastic what you're doing. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the large social media following was not on the manifestation list, but it's been a tool to help me with the things that I want to achieve. Right. So I think it's a powerful tool. You just got to keep it in that mindset of, this is just a tool. It is not the path.
Right.
It's a path.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, and I read that you a long time ago wanted to be a pop star. And as I bring this up at the very end of your interview,
I wanted to be Britney Spears, mind you. I wanted to be the next Britney Spears.
I don't blame you.
I was like, I'm going to be a male, gay Britney Spears. And
that's a really good idea.
And you know what's so funny? I remember like laying in bed at night. So to like help me get to sleep, sometimes I will visualize. I would I've been doing that since I was a kid. And I visualized myself having a interview with Oprah. And then after my interview with Oprah, we went and did a big concert in my hometown. And everyone was so excited for me, you know, and I was on the stage and I was feeling so good. And last 2 weeks ago, I did my first live event in Tacoma. Tacoma is not my hometown, but it's where I live. And I started that morning with an interview on Good Day Northwest, which is a really big Pacific Northwest talk show. And then I did a live mediumship event. And I remember just being caught in that moment, in the middle of that stage. I was like, oh my gosh, this is like what I used to like dream of. It wasn't the exact thing, but it was the exact feeling, like the exact feeling. So, you know,
that is amazing. I don't know, you probably don't know this, but I share a story like that that has to do with how social media helped me perform for millions of people. The original goal was to perform for millions of people on like a sitcom like Full House, because that was like the best ever to me. Yes. And I didn't go for it. I have kids and then I did this and life happened, da, 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 right? And then the social media thing happens. I start posting these ridiculous treadmill dancing videos and they start to explode. And sure enough, I performed for millions of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you had that interview and you had your live event. Mm-hmm. It's not the exact way you thought it would happen, but it's happened. I totally relate to that. That's so exciting.
Yeah. Isn't that so fun though? And I think that like when we're, you know, when we're kind of visualizing these things that we want, if we can be really open to, okay, maybe it's not going to look like this,
yes,
but it's going to feel like this.
Yes. Yes.
It can happen. And we can do these amazing things, and these wonderful cooperative components can fall into place, like the social media followings or the business opportunities or whatever it is.
Right.
And it can be really magical.
It really can. It really can. Thank you so much for doing this with me. I've been so excited to meet you and to have this conversation with you. I appreciate everything you're doing, and I'm so excited to have you on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun.
Well, we'll put in the show notes, of course, but please remind everybody your social media handle names and how they can find out more about what you do, possibly work with you and all the things.
Yeah. So you can find me on both Instagram and TikTok at Travis Warrior Unicorn. And my website is travisholp.com.
Okay. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Brittany.
Thanks for listening to today's show, y'all. For more information about the podcast, go to socialsunshinepodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And subscribe to the Social Sunshine Podcast YouTube channel to watch the video version of each episode. For more information about me, go to brittanycrossin.com and connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. The Social Sunshine Podcast is a Fun Love Media production. Funlovemedia.com. Bye.